Blog Talk Radio. This is Dirty Church Radio. Tonight, on Sunday, December 16th, this is Mr. DA Devil's Advocate, Aaron Spradley, bringing in the show tonight. Our other host, Minister Jay, will be coming in shortly, I believe, hopefully. Heard that he's been feeling a little bit under the weather, so I believe when he does call, we might not get that much, you know, out of him. But you know, we'll try. Hopefully, you know, he's doing well enough so that he can come in on the discussion. Tonight we have a very interesting topic, which is entitled, Is It True Because I Believe, or Do I Believe Because It's True? For those who it might seem to be a little tongue-tied for, basically what it's saying is, does my belief in something make that particular thing or that particular idea or that particular religion or that particular whatever it may be, does my belief in it make it generally true? Or what I believe, the things that I do believe, is it a personal experience and it's only true to me? And for something to be true to myself or yourself on a personal level, is that considered to be an absolute truth, something that is true abroad? Whether someone accepts it to be true or not, we all know certain absolutes. For instance, I'm not saying this particular example that I'm going to give is an absolute truth, but 2 + 2, generally, whether you believe it to be 4 or not, it usually, from my knowledge, always maps out to be 4. Whether someone accepts that to be a true statement or not, it kind of doesn't make a difference. It's true nonetheless. So by me saying that a statement, I believe a statement to be true, it doesn't necessarily mean that the statement is generally around the board true. The opposing side of that is, do I believe, well, the first one is something true based on my beliefs, or do I believe based on the truth? And when you say that, basically is saying that all of the evidence, all of the reasoning, all of logic, all of the understanding points to this particular truth. The facts that we have toward a certain thing points to it being generally true around the board. Whether you accept it or not, it's proven to be true. Like I gave you the example of 2 + 2 = 4, that's something that we all know to be a true factual statement. Whether someone believes it or not, it's a true statement. So tonight we just want to, you know, come at some people, and for the callers that might call in, you know, we would like to find out where you how you take this topic, where you stand. some people who believe in particular things don't necessarily care whether or not if it's true. They believe it based on many reasons. Maybe because it's comfortable, maybe because they've been believing this all their lives, maybe because their upbringing, this was part of their belief and something that they accepted. It also could be just because it personally makes sense to you. And by it making sense, you believe it. Doesn't necessarily account for it being absolute truth or being truth generally abroad. You can find this truth in America. You can find this truth in China, in Europe, and any of the seven continents. You can find this particular statement to be true, but you don't necessarily agree with it. But we would like to, you know, find out some info on, you know, some people around really don't care where you're from. Basically, just want to find out, you know, some feedback on the topic tonight. Like I say all the time, I am not the type of person to sit here and talk for a period of time without some type of interaction. I work best, you know, when I'm actually speaking to someone. If you people are out there, give a call in. Let us know. Hopefully we'll get our host, Minister Jay, to call in a little bit. Like I said, he's feeling a little bit under the weather. Hopefully he'll feel good enough to call in. If not, we might end this show a little early tonight. I won't be able to do this in 2 hours by myself. We just want some feedback. I don't want to necessarily, you know, state my views alone or views that, you know, I hear people say or, you know, the whole point of me being the devil's advocate is to go against something per se. I can't go against myself. It wouldn't be too interesting, and you know, some people might call me crazy listening to me talking to me. But how about I share a little something? There are certain belief systems that people have become accustomed to accepting to be truth. That is only accepted in that particular belief system or religion or practice of belief. These certain religions that view these particular beliefs to be true, I wonder what are they basing their truth on? The upbringing of religion that I came up in, which is Christianity, off of a you know, Protestant sect. I grew up, you know, Pentecostal, and we believed that our faith is all the evidence we need. Faith is not necessarily tangible or empirical evidence. It's not something that you can see, nor is it something that you can feel, touch, smell, taste. It's more of something that you take you take on the evidence of someone making a statement that we accept was, hold on, we have a caller in. Hello?
Hey, what's going on, DA?
Hey, what's going on, Minister Miller?
Good, man, good, good. So what's going on?
How's everything? I know you said you were feeling a little bit under the weather.
Yeah, man. I'm off this little NyQuil right now, but still got to make it happen on Dirty Church Radio.
I hear that.
The show must go on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, true that. Well, I was just basically explaining the topic of the show, is it true because I believe, or do I believe that it's true? Basically, separating the two, one of them is saying that I believe something, something's true to me because I believe in it. And what that kind of sort of entails is no matter what type of facts or evidence someone has, my personal experience makes whatever I believe true. It doesn't necessarily have to be generally true or an absolute truth abroad. No, everybody doesn't necessarily have to accept it to be true. And in most cases, a lot of people don't accept it true because it's your personal belief. And because it was something that you personally experienced, it's true to you. The other one basically is I believe because it's true, meaning that the fact
you have
the
evidence for it.
Yeah, that is actually required is gives this particular statement to be true. It doesn't matter whether people accept it to be true or not. It's true generally abroad. I gave an example. 2 plus 2, from my knowledge, I'm not a mathematician or any type of scientist. So that, from what I understand, 2 plus 2 always equals 4. And if 2 plus 2 always equals 4, I don't care if, you know, you're in China, Japan, India, Europe, anywhere, 2 plus 2 always going to equal 4 around abroad. That's kind of more of a general truth to everyone, and it's based on the empirical evidence that we actually have.
Well, you know something about belief, though, like you said, how it becomes true to you is like when something is working for you, if that thing that you're believing is making you better and it's bringing you from a place where you no longer desire to be and it's taking you to a new place in your life, doing better things, treating people better, being a better husband, you know what I mean, a better wife, like, those beliefs, that the evidence of you, those things right there, that really makes it true to you. And it makes you hold on to that belief because you've seen it work for you, even though you might not have the evidence, and we talked about this before, to prove it like 2 plus 2, but you're your only evidence because the thing you're believing in is working for you in your personal life. No one else can attest for it because it's your life, and you believe in it. And you believe that this thing is working for you. And that's where, it's a thin line right there. Because some things, you know, it's a lot of things we need proof. But when the proof that you have, the odds are stacked against you and it's not in your favor. Normally those times, that's a time for you to have a belief in something that goes beyond what can be proven. Because you don't like the results of what the facts are landing before you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see nothing wrong where if you get a doctor report of something, for you believing the doctor says you have this issue, but in your mind, you're believing that you're going to get better, or that the God that you serve, you know what I mean, or believe in, can fix the situation and make things better. You know what I mean? And I believe, you know, belief is something, it's all different type of forms of belief. You know what I mean? And what it really boils down to is whatever you believe, it may be false to someone else, but if it's working to you, if it's working for you, it's true to you.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when it comes down to it, that's kind of all that really matters. Because life is really, I mean, really life is, I mean, a personal, it's a personal journey, but you got, it's other people along on that journey. But if we was in a war, right, and we was fighting, and I got hit with bullets, right, you wouldn't be able to feel those bullets for me, even though you was with me, and we seen and experienced the same thing. Certain journeys we have to go on by ourselves, like when we're born and when we die. You know what I'm saying? So I believe it's certain journeys of belief inside of life, too, that we go on by ourselves that others may not grab hold to. But it works for us. And there might be a different belief that works for someone else. And to them, that belief has proven or given them evidence to continue to keep believing.
Yeah, that's so, so true. I mean, I couldn't make it better. And you were saying things that a lot of our callers call in and say, our brother Matu, like our brother Senefer, when they say that belief is a personal journey, it's something that's personal. And It should be something that is that's exercised inadvertently, meaning that it's something that should be practiced within yourself. But how about since you're saying that these ideas and these things, these experiences and beliefs that you actually go through that works for you, when you actually allow that belief to kind of dictate other people and you kind of force your belief on someone else saying that because you're doing this.
I don't think everybody forces the belief. I believe.
I'm not talking about everybody. I'm talking about people that do.
I think what happens though is when something works for you, you want to share it because it possibly can work for someone else. So it's like I don't want to just keep this to myself because I'm the evidence. I'm the witness for this because it's working for me. So let me share it, whether you accept it or not. But not don't let me keep it. Don't let me keep it from you. You know what I mean? My thing is like this. You can't make nobody believe nothing. But just like a salesman, I mean, or a salesman, not saying selling something, but just like if somebody knocks on your door and they got vacuum cleaners or they got some things, right, that they're trying to move or whatever, you don't have to buy it. You know what I mean? It's a lot of things you don't have to accept.
Well, I have a question for you. The question I have for you, and that's awesome. I mean, you know, that's good. Yeah, you if you have something that made you feel better, of course, you know, the general thing to do is to want to share it. But what about those who actually say, if you don't accept what I'm telling you, it's going to be an ultimate punishment for you?
Well, really,
when
my thing,
this experience should be something personal that you're just sharing with someone, whether they accept it or not.
Well, see, you understand, when I witness, or if I'm talking to a brother, I'm not talking to a brother from the angle of condemning him to hellfire if he doesn't accept this. Because, listen, let me tell you something. Even when it comes to this thing, even you know, we both was brought up in church, outside of church, inside of church, right? And there were certain things that we've heard, certain things, but we didn't listen right away. There are some things that later on in life we may have listened to, or we may have remembered what was spoken. Just like in our family, a grandfather or uncle could have told us something, and we didn't listen to it then. But as life went on, we may have been faced in a situation and that thing that was spoken to us comes back and it can help us. So my thing is like this, when I talk to somebody about God, you know what I mean? I share the love, I share my personal experience. All I do is plant a seed or water a seed. And it's God is going to give the increase. You cannot force anyone to accept your words. You can't force no one to try to persuade them. All you can do is be a witness of what you believe, share it, and keep it moving. You know, you can't put a gun to someone's head.
How about all of those people who actually do condemn people because they don't accept what they're sharing, what the person's sharing with them? And these people do. I mean, because to be honest, I have fell a victim to that type of behavior. I did condemn people at one point. And I'll just be honest and be truthful about it. I have until I came to the knowledge of what you're saying right now. All I'm doing is just sharing.
Yeah.
Whether you accept it or not, that's totally on you.
If people
but how
can
about,
accept you sharing something better than you force feeding someone and trying to shove something down their throat and make them accept it.
Yeah, but I'm not necessarily talking about the making them accept it. I'm talking about what about the people who actually says if you don't accept what I'm sharing, there is a consequence for you.
Well, put it this way. They're letting you know, put it this way. Maybe they may be going about it the wrong way, but in actuality, if you believe in Christ, if you're a Christian and you believe in Christ, you do believe in consequence. You believe in hell and heaven. So
yeah, but
that
is that
straight.
Based on a personal experience or is that based on actual, like, absolute truth?
No. That's based on them believing the word of what's written in the Bible. That's what they
mm-hmm.
believe. You know what I mean? So
it doesn't necessarily have to be true. It's just personally true to them.
No, but, I mean, if you believe it, it is true.
And it's personally true. Yeah, personally true to you, right? That's what
no,
you said earlier.
No. But what I'm saying, if you're going to believe the Bible, the Bible
mm-hmm.
speaks to mankind. It doesn't just speak to you. If you're going to believe the Bible, you're going to believe what the Bible says. And if you're going to believe what the Bible says, the Bible talks about hell. It talks about heaven. It talks about sin. It talks about wickedness and unrighteousness. So if you're going to believe the Bible, you're going to believe it. But it's not my job to put you in hell, but I can tell you the consequences of it.
But if it talks about that, isn't a believer's job is to seek for the truth? This is where the question comes in. Do I believe it because it's
no.
true, or is it true because I believe it?
Well, you know what? I believe it's really both of them. When you really believe, because if you really believe it, you believe it because it's true, because you believe it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you really can't escape. You really can't. It's saying it two different ways, but really, it's both of them.
Well,
if I believe there's a God and I believe in Jesus Christ as His Son, right? That He
mm-hmm.
died for my sins. I believe that. It's not just I believe that He just died for me. I believe what the Word says, that He died for the world. So if He died for the world, that means what's wrong for me or what's right for me, it doesn't just apply to me. It applies for everyone if I'm going to believe that.
Well, see, that this is where the question comes in at, because if you're saying that your belief is based on facts and evidence, then your belief actually is just like what 2 + 2 is. You can actually prove that. And if you can prove it to be factual,
no, but you got
and you have the evidence
though,
to back it up.
If you're gonna, but you gotta understand also too, man. When you're dealing with the Bible, you're dealing with God. You're dealing with spiritual things too. So everything is not going to be laid in front of DA's for him to see it with his physical eyes.
Well,
God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Listen, it's a spiritual thing of this too. You know what I'm saying? Everything is not going to be 2 + 2, because it like for real, that's what leaves room for faith, and it's impossible to please God without faith, man.
Yeah, but this is is my question. You're not talking to all Christians. So what if the people who you aren't talking to don't believe this spiritual thing? But you're still saying that it's true, and you're
those people that don't believe what I believe that's right now listening to me on the radio, all I can do is be a witness for it. I can't make them believe it, but I still can stand and declare what I believe, whether you accept it or not.
And we already got that clear, but we're trying to find out truth. Do I believe it because it's true, or is it true because I believe it? Meaning that I am sitting here trying to find out what is
God
true.
Is true.
Well, then, if God is true, then God is true broad, abroad. He's true all across the board.
He is.
And if that's
God
the case,
is all around us, Aaron.
Then, if that's the case,
God
then
is
the
all
proof,
us.
Then the proof has to be there in order for
you're
me to accept what you're saying to be true.
Hold up, you're
because
the proof. You're the
how?
Proof. You're
how?
God's creation.
How? How do you know that?
Because you are.
No, how do you know that, though?
How do you not know it?
Because there is no evidence to prove that's the case.
So hold up. Listen, let me ask you this. Listen.
Mm-hmm.
Put it this way. Let's just say you ever watch First 48 Hours or different shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
There can be evidence that proves stuff, and there could be no evidence, but still it's still a truth there. Something happened, but they might not have all the evidence for it. But not saying that it still doesn't exist or it didn't happen. They just don't have every piece of the puzzle all together to put it to paint a perfect picture for you to see. Mm-hmm. You gotta understand, man. Listen, the Bible. If you're gonna believe the Bible is a book of faith. It's not a book like you're just reading a magazine and everything is just so tangible for you to see. Where it leaves no room for faith. Faith doesn't even exist if everything is just proven with physical evidence for you to see. Like you're a detective and you're investigating a crime scene and now you have every piece. The Bible is not like that. Faith is not like that. You know what I'm saying? It's never going to be like that. There's so many unanswered questions that exist in this world that will never be answered, regardless of how smart a person think they are or what you think. It's going to be some things that's never going to be answered. So regardless of how you put the question or whatever, when you believe in the Bible, if you believe in the Bible, if I believe in God, if I believe Christ saved me and he changed my life and my life is changed, that's my evidence to me. That's truth to me. That's the evidence I need. So it doesn't, I don't have to have a notebook with everything in it to display for someone because I'm the witness. My life was changed. And what better witness than you need
for yourself?
That's
totally understandable. And that makes a whole lot of sense on a personal level. And you're saying that it's true to you because you believe it. And there's nothing wrong with that.
It's always a personal level. It's always when it comes to believing in something, it's always going to start personal before it can ever be corporate. When we can all believe, like it's going to start with the individuals first, and those individuals becoming
awesome.
A witness for it.
My dilemma is when it comes to the point where you make a personal statement based on truth to you, truth to everyone. And if someone doesn't acknowledge your truth to be absolute truth, then the condemnation comes to say that I'm not right and you are. And I'm saying, where is your evidence to prove that? If you're proving that I'm wrong, like you actually brought up the whole judicial system, and if you understand the judicial system, it's either guilty or not guilty. Nobody's ever proven innocent because the court systems don't work that way. Because people don't necessarily have to be innocent. They probably could have done it, but the evidence doesn't point to them. And our judicial system, by default, only operates guilty or not guilty. And that all determines the evidence that we acquire, but it doesn't necessarily say that someone's innocent of doing it, because that's not the answer we're supposed to do. Contrary to what the evidence might say or whatever, we can't determine whether somebody's innocent or not. The only thing we can do is determine whether if someone's guilty or not guilty. But it's, again, based on evidence.
But
and if
even
I don't have any type of evidence,
put it this way, even evidence have convicted people of crimes they didn't do. And
exactly.
It wasn't until, like what I'm saying, so even everything that's tangible that you see in front of your eyes is not always accurate. That's the difference with when it comes with your faith. I am the witness what God has done for me. So
personally,
I don't actually. But what I'm saying, that makes it even more true because he did it for
you.
Me. No,
yes.
But it's real.
Really?
If it was done, if God changed my life, it's no disputing, he changed my life.
Yeah, but see,
it's no disputing, that's the truth. Whether, only reason why it's personal, because it was done with me. And I'm the witness for it. But that doesn't make it true. That doesn't make it that he can't change your life.
No, true indeed. But
I believe it's my obligation to be
that actually.
Because he didn't know change my life. I know a lot of people like that God changed.
But what if I say that Buddha changed my life and the whole Buddhist principle is real to me?
But listen, listen, first of all, there are people that say that.
I know.
So what, I'm
what
saying
do you say
is,
to
but listen. But listen, you gotta understand. I'm not in a battle of if you're saying your God did that for you, hey, so be it. But my thing that I always say, regardless of what, I know the God that I serve changed my life, right?
Yeah.
I know that he changed my life. And he changed me, he brought me from a mighty, mighty long way. It was places that I was at in my life that I never thought I would make it to this place. I survived stuff that other people.
That's all personal.
You know what I'm saying? No, but it's real though. It ain't.
No,
like
I know it's real, and it's real to you.
It's real.
The problem
comes in when you take your reality and
condemn somebody
to
me.
Hold up, it's not just real to me because there's others that witness.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's
and for all of those personal experiences,
it's
real to them.
It does go beyond just me. Because my change has
No, I know that. But you're talking about you. And yeah, there are people that
you can only talk about you. You can only talk about you because we're the only
exactly.
ones that can live in
that's
our
my
life.
Point. That's my
that's
point.
That's what I'm saying. But just because it happened to me does not mean that it can't be true to anyone else.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying.
Hey, listen. And I'm
it
saying,
becomes
I'm
a situation
that, listen, you
where you
need,
actually
I'm
take
saying,
your truth
you
and apply it to everybody,
I'm
not just the ones that actually
physical evidence.
In your experience.
You don't need physical evidence or tangible evidence to please man for your life to be changed. If
I'm
you
not
believe in
that.
God, and God can change your life without any book or remedy,
and that's true to people.
It's real.
Yeah, and it's true to people who actually experience that, right?
But listen, hold up. Let me tell you something. Did you ever experience
what?
Did you ever experience your life being changed by God?
Yeah, I experienced my life being changed by God. I experienced my life being changed by therapy.
Okay.
I experienced my life being changed by a lot of things.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, though, but the fact is your life was changed, wasn't it?
Yes.
And it was real.
Yes, real. Real in the sense
it was real.
Tribute
let's not
my change to whatever I pointed it to. Yes, that experience was real to me. But I'm not going to say that it's real across the board and it's absolute truth for the whole world. I can't say that. I only could say it's real to me because it's something that I've experienced and that I know the people who see the same way I believe experience. But how about the other people?
So you feel as though, but what about the other people? The other people, you need to tell them that their life can be changed too.
No. Their life is changed. Just not by the means that I took.
No,
but
listen,
life was
we
changed.
All got our own personal. It's not like God is going to change my life the way that he did yours. We all live in different.
No, I'm
saying different
that there
bodies.
Are going to be other type of religions and other type of God that changes people's lives. And
no,
who am I to
that's
say?
That's a known fact. That's a known fact.
That is wrong.
Say that again.
I said, who am I to say that theirs is wrong or mine is more true than theirs are?
No, it's not the point of saying, oh, mine is more true and all that. The fact is saying, listen, if you try the God that I try, yo, it will work. And he's
okay,
real.
But now,
whatever regardless
now,
of whatever else you
are
try.
People, there are people that actually did try and it wasn't real to them and it didn't work. So they tried something else, and that worked for them. Some people was a Christian. It didn't work out being a Christian, so they became Muslims. Some people were Jadis. It didn't work out for them, so they became Buddhists. Other people were Pentecostal Christians, and it worked for them, so they became Mormons.
I'm going to tell you, that's the difference. See, the thing where it gets really kind of messed up is that it's because people, like I always say this on the show,
mm-hmm.
I don't box God inside of Pentecostal, Baptist, or Methodist. Like, God is so bigger and greater than the name on a church or the affiliation or the body that you're in.
But you do box God, though.
Hold up.
The reason why you only attribute God to one book.
So hold up. You have enough authority in your mind to tell me that I box God. Like, you got enough power.
No, it has nothing to do with authority.
Hold up. What I said, though, you think you have the right, you think you can say that? Like, what's about me having the right to say that?
What qualifies you
to be able to say that?
Because you believe that the only way that you can achieve God or you can know God is through the Christian Holy Bible.
No. See, that's where you get it messed up. But I do believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And I do believe that Christ is the way to God. I do believe that. But I don't get
and
caught
where
up.
Where do you get that?
Listen, what you say? I get that from the Word of God.
Information
from the Word of God. But in the Word of God.
That's my point.
From the Bible. Yes, from the Word of God.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that's where you get your information from. That's where you get your ideal of God from.
You know what's
wrong with that?
About everybody? The majority of everybody that tries to have a conversation when it comes to religion or anything like that, majority of everybody, you can't even have a conversation without the Bible.
Excuse me?
You can't even really talk. You can't. Everyone that tries to come at the Bible and try to take the power away from the Bible or discredit the Bible loves to use the Bible.
Of course, because the Bible is the number one book in our culture and society as America because this society was built on principles of the Bible. So I don't even get that. And especially if somebody's going against the Bible, of course you use the Bible.
Why use the Bible? Like, I'm saying, why use the Bible if you don't believe in it? Why don't you get another book and then come at the Bible based on that book?
People do. Muslims do it all the time.
Yeah, but if you read the Quran,
mm-hmm.
If you read the Quran,
yes,
it's so many comparisons to the Bible in the Quran.
Well, what does that mean? That doesn't mean
anything.
This
is what I'm saying. Everyone uses the Bible in one way or another,
but I can understand why people would use the Bible, but it still doesn't say anything about the Bible.
My thing is, the thing that's so crazy, right? Everyone, either atheist or whoever, and everyone has the right to believe what you believe. But everybody, they don't have a book. So they try to attack the word of God when they really don't have a word for themselves. They don't have a word.
Mormons have,
they don't have a book for themselves. And that's the crazy thing. Where's your own word at? Why do you got to use the word that you don't believe in?
When you talk, listen,
why even use it?
Bible is not a book. Just based on total belief, it has our culture in it.
Why use it? Why use it with so many people?
Because, if you look at it with no credit. Number one, there are people who do believe in it. Number two, some of the people that actually built this great country we live in believed in the book. Not only that, but then you have to understand that this book.
Why use it if you don't believe in it? That's my thing. Why even quote any verse from it if you don't believe in it? Why use it at all?
Understand. That's saying why use any book if you don't necessarily believe. I don't believe, personally, The Wizard of Oz. So why use that book? I use that book in examples. I use that book to tell stories.
Not like the Bible. Come on, let's keep it real here. Not like the Bible. You bring up the Wizard of Oz, compare that to the Bible. I'm talking about the way people use the Bible, all right? It's a known fact. People use the Bible way more than they use some Wizard of Oz, all right? So you know what I'm talking about.
Hey, tell me how you are referring to how people use the Bible.
I'm saying why use the Bible?
No, tell me how people. Just give me an example of how people use the Bible.
The average person that uses the Bible, I want to discredit the Bible.
Yeah, tell me how. Like, how would they use the Bible to say, well, even though they don't necessarily believe in it, but they still use the Bible? Tell me how some people.
First of all, put it this way. First thing you say, it was written by men. All right? Mm-hmm. It's men thought. So right there, immediately, that's the first attack against the Bible to take away the authentic.
That's not an attack.
God.
True.
No.
Men did write the Bible.
No. It's the way you use it because we believe that the Bible was inspired by God, which I believe.
That's true, but if someone says men wrote, that's actually true.
The same way that God can inspire me to change someone's life. If I'm talking to a brother out on the street, or if I'm talking to a brother anywhere, and we're talking, and I say something, and I'm talking to him, and it can change his life or give him a different thought in a different way. I look at that as God using me to inspire someone.
You said that people actually are saying that men wrote the Bible. Yes, men did write the Bible.
Yes,
whether God inspired them or not.
Men wrote the Bible, period.
That's based on your personal belief.
Yeah, I'm just saying. But when I just get tired of people using the Bible and try to discredit it like it's nothing, like it's just some useless thing, man. And when that book, man, has changed people's lives, man. You know what I mean?
I've had aunts and uncles drugged out.
Life messed up, man. And now they're authors of books. And their life has changed, like, so much because of the word of God.
That's a good thing.
So to me, that's the proof. That's the evidence.
Yeah, that's on a personal level.
Nah, man, it's the truth, though. Put it this way. To me, that evidence is better than the evidence you're talking about.
You don't even know what kind of evidence I'm talking about.
No, the evidence you're talking about is you need to see something that says 2 + 2, and this is what it is, and this is the proof right here. I'm saying the proof is, listen,
you use that every single
family life was changed. That's the proof.
You use that every single day. Everybody uses that proof every single day. That's how you function in the real world.
Listen, man. Listen, that's the evidence right there. When someone's life has really changed.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. That is evidence, but it's a personal evidence.
That's real evidence.
It's not absolute truth.
To me, that's real evidence.
It's personal truth. And there's nothing wrong with that.
And listen, you don't have to see it with your physical eye, the power.
You do have to see it with your physical eye.
All you have to see is the result of what the word does.
Okay. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's a good thing. But I'm just saying that.
But you know what?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Who's saying that there's wrong with that? I'm just saying it's not. It's not empirical.
I'm a witness.
It's on truth. It's just a personal experience.
I'm a witness for that change too. So when I've seen that change, I became a witness because I was with them in the struggle. I was with them during the turmoil of everything, and I've seen the altering take place and their lives change.
And
so I'm a witness. It's not just personal to them. It's not just personal to them though.
It's not just personal. Yes, it is personal. You just said earlier that it is personal.
I'm a witness of their change.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You believe the same thing that you believe.
Listen what I'm saying, man. God is real. And I'm saying that on Dirty Church Radio, regardless of what anybody out there believe or don't believe.
Well, what does that have to do with anything you're saying? Saying God is real.
Make sure you get these.
I mean, I don't understand that. Like, what are you trying to say?
Whoever you're serving or whoever you praise, make sure that you get results. And I believe the greatest result is your life changing for the better. Whatever
that
is.
And that's the beautiful thing. My only thing I'm saying is there are other ways, other means of people changing. Are you discrediting their ways that they change? Their God.
Listen.
Based on their change.
You're the one just bringing up, am I discrediting? I didn't discredit no one. But what I did is.
No, I'm asking you.
I'm speaking for what
works. You are saying, based on the Bible, what you're saying is an absolute truth
for
everybody.
I can't speak for them. I can only speak for what I've seen and what I know to be true.
That's my point.
So I'll tell them too. Listen, this works too.
Yeah, and that's cool. But see, the thing about it is there are some people that tried that and it didn't work for them. So they tried something else.
You know what? Listen, let me tell you something. The average, you know what? Just like,
can you just accept
the fact
that there are people that tried it and it didn't work for them,
so
they tried something else and that worked for them?
So let me ask you this.
Yes or no?
Did God ever stop working for you? Is it that you don't believe because he stopped working?
You talking about me personally?
No, what I'm saying, or speaking for someone, whoever, or speak on someone's behalf, else's behalf. Did they stop believing because God stopped working? But they were believing for a while because God must have been working, right?
No, I'm asking you.
Answer my question.
How in the world can I answer a question with a question that I already asked you?
No, that question was already going. I just asked you that just now.
My question before you asked me yours.
Nah, Aaron, listen, man. First of all, the whole time we both been talking, trying to out talk and over talk each other.
Just
ask your
question. You turned around and then asked me the question after I asked you mine.
What's your question? Go ahead. Ask your question.
My question is, has there ever been a situation where somebody has tried the way you're going, Christianity's way? It didn't work for them. The God you believe in, the God you serve, it didn't work for them, so they chose something else, and that worked for them.
No, that's what I'm asking. Like, that's what I didn't want anything personal.
My question to you is,
anybody out there, put it this way, it's Dirty Church Radio right now. Call in 773-897-6319. We want to know, were you a Christian and you were faithful in Christ and God was there for you and you believed that he was in your life and he worked things out for you, but then eventually he no longer worked for you and now you're a part of something different? Call in
now,
from Dirty Church Radio.
Now can you answer the question?
No, I want someone else to answer because I'm not them. It's
no, 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 no.
That's the question.
I can't answer a question
because I never walked. God continued to work out for me, so I don't know what it's like to actually.
I know you don't know what it's like.
No longer I'm not believe in God
you.
Or believe in Christ.
Listen to me. I'm
can't
not
speak
asking
for that, so
you.
I'm not a professional in
express,
that.
Listen, Jay. I'm not asking you to express their experience. I'm asking you: is it possible if someone tried the God you believe in? Is it possible that they tried that God and it didn't work for them and they tried something else and it did?
My personal belief, and this mm-hmm. is my personal belief, whether you dispute it or whatever, mm-hmm. I believe when you try Christ and when you try God, you're drawn away by your own lust into something else. God never leaves you. People leave God for something that maybe, you know, they don't agree with, that they don't want to be obedient to, or, you know, something that they don't like that's written, but God is always there for you. So my thing is like this. There may be some people, but I believe maybe that person let doubt come in their mind. Maybe that person, you know what I'm saying? I don't believe that, because the Bible talks about, man, who God has in his hand, no man can pluck out. Like, nobody can pluck him out. We're drawn away by our own lust. Like, who can separate us from the love of God?
That's not possible, and it basically...
No, what happens is
the person just stopped believing because lust actually drew them away. It wasn't just that it didn't work for them. You're just saying that it was something that they did that didn't work because God works for everybody. Your God works for everybody.
Hold up. Here we got our brother Seven on the line. Here you go.
Yeah.
What's going on, Senefa?
Hey, man, what's happening? I'm just listening. Y'all go ahead, man. I'm enjoying it. Nah, I'm cool, man. Good.
Nah,
good.
When you call in, Senefa, it's something on your mind you want to say.
I mean, you guys are doing good, man. I'm just listening. I'm enjoying it. When I got something to say, I'll say it.
I hear that, man. I hear that.
You know, this is just my thing. The question basically is, does your beliefs make something true, or is something true?
Because you believe it. Yeah, I mean, I'm following it. I'm listening that you guys hash it out.
You know what I'm saying? I'm more so asking questions. And you know, I apologize, but you know, I'm just getting, you know, the run around the mill answers, you know, because and I definitely understand why that is, but there are people out there that have
run around the mill
actually been in a situation where
you said run around the mill
in Christianity.
Run around the mill answers?
Listen. They did believe.
You said run around the mill answers?
Run around the answers, yes.
I'm saying, look how you coming.
Run around the answers.
I'm saying, look how you coming. But if a Christian or someone was saying something like that about someone else's faith or in it and was calling it run around the mill, then that person would be so horrible and bad. You know what
no,
I mean?
It has nothing to do with anything.
What I'm saying, though, that's how you coming, though. But we could come like that.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm saying that you personally aren't giving me an answer.
Yo, what you mean? I'm not personally giving you an answer. Man, I'm giving you the best answer. I just told you the best answer is if I believe something and I try something and it worked for me, it's true because I'm the evidence that it changed my life. So
no,
it doesn't matter how many doctor degrees or psychiatrists come and say, oh, well, that doesn't line up with this chemical or with this procedure.
Oh, Jay, I'm not even saying all that. I'm saying that what you're saying is right based on your personal experience and people who actually shared the same personal experiences that may be true to them. I'm saying that how about other people that experience something different. If they experience something different, why is it wrong that what they believe is necessarily correct?
You're adding words now. Like you're saying,
no, I'm not.
Is it wrong? Who said that? Where did that come from? No,
you did earlier.
What was wrong?
You did.
You're adding words. You ain't, listen, we can rewind the show, and I ain't never say it was wrong.
Check it out. I'm paraphrasing. But you said, according to the Bible, that your personal God,
go
around abroad. And if your personal God is real, and if the Bible is real around the board for everybody, then there are consequences for people not following the way of the Word of God.
Put it this way. Listen, this is what you want. This is what you want. This is what you want. All right, and I'm going to tell you like this. Straight up.
I'm just saying, it's impossible.
In the Bible that I believe in, regardless of whoever, I stand on what I believe.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I believe in heaven, and I believe in hell. I believe there's a consequence after life. I believe that in this world we live in right now, after death, there's judgment. I believe that. So regardless of whatever you say or whatever whoever say, that's what I believe. All right?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying
and check
is
it
like
out.
This.
Operative
Let me finish this right here. But if a Buddhist who used to beat his wife and used to mistreat his kids becomes a Buddhist and he becomes a better person, and he treats his wife better now, he has a loving relationship with his family, and he's doing the things that he's supposed to do, I am in no position to look at him to say that what he tried or what he's doing doesn't work for him. Because what he tried, the result is his life changed. So I'm not one sitting here saying, that's not work. Oh, his life really can't be changed because he believes in Buddha. No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, this is what I'm saying. It is my job and my responsibility to only speak based upon what I've experienced as a result of change and what can change and what this Word of God does. I can only speak, because listen, I only lived in Jay Miller's shoes. I'm only within myself. You know what I mean? I only walk in my shoes. So I don't walk in 100 million other men's shoes. We all have our own journey, but I can only speak from what results that I've seen, what I've gotten from what I believe. And if I share that and if you accept it, all good. If you don't, oh well.
Yeah, and that's,
you know what
all
I'm saying?
I'm,
like, for real, oh
yo,
well.
Hey, check it out. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying that you kept saying over and over again, it's your own personal experience. You were the only one that walked in your shoes. It's something that you only experienced. That's all good.
What you're trying to say, though, but this is what you're saying.
I'm saying that's true.
This is what I'm telling you. I'm telling you it is true. This reason why I'm telling you
to
is
you.
True because I'm a witness of it.
Yo, Jay, I'm not. I don't know what you're like arguing with me, because I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying that's true.
No, this is what you're saying because it's true to me. It's not true to nobody else. What I'm saying.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's not true for everybody. I'm saying it's only true for people who it worked for.
But listen, Aaron, that goes back. That's choice. That's what life is. Life is full of choices. Listen, put it this way. Just imagine music. You're a music producer, right? Listen, am I right? You're a music producer, right? So now you're an engineer, right, with music, right?
I'm both. I'm both.
Everything, right? Now listen, you do know, regardless of how much music you put out, there is someone that's not going to like your song.
There's going to be a lot of people that's not going to like it.
A lot of people. But even if 1% of the world likes your song, your pockets would be real nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, it has
a lot
of factors in it.
No, what I'm saying, if 1% of the world brought one of Aaron's songs at $10 or $15, whatever, you'll have a couple dollars in your pocket, right?
like I said, it generally, yes. I understand where you go on that. Go ahead.
No, what I'm saying is like this. We understand everyone is not going to like the same thing. Everyone does not like the same delivery. Everyone mm-hmm. does not like the way that people may share what they believe. Some people can say the right things, but they say it at the wrong time. I mean,
yes.
It all depends. So a lot of times it could be your delivery. You know what I mean? Like a person like right now most likely wouldn't reach me if they coming from a place and they're preaching. If I'm out there in the street and someone come to me like, you're going to hell. Like, I mean, that's how you're just coming at me from the door. Most likely, immediately, I'm rejecting that.
But you're saying all this to say what?
No, this is what I'm saying. It's like this. In life, we understand, and I understand this as a young minister, believer in Christ or whatever. I understand, man, that everyone is not going to accept what I share or what I believe.
That's my
point. I'm not no dummy. I'm not no dummy.
You're making this whole statement to say that everybody is not going to accept what you say. That's understandable, and I don't disagree with that.
But listen, everyone that may be listening to you is not going to believe everything that you're saying.
I know. And
you know what I'm saying?
The difference is where I am, I hold no stipulation or no punishment if you don't accept what I'm saying to you. Yours do. Hold on 1 second. We have another caller calling in. Wait 1 second. Hello, caller?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
Were you listening to the show? Did you have something to say?
I was talking to my son. What's your name?
Oh, okay.
What's up, Mom? What's going on?
How you doing?
Good. How's everything?
All right. How you been?
Good, Mom. Good.
Yeah, I haven't heard from you in a little while. Just wondering if you was okay.
Yeah, everything is good, Mom.
Well, that's good.
Everything is good.
Okay. Gus is doing a lot better now.
That's good, Mom.
All right.
That's so good. I'll give you a call after the show, Mom.
All right, huh?
All right.
Okay.
Love you.
All right. Okay.
Yo, I can't front. I love that. I'm not even gonna front with
that's
you.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it is, man.
That was wisdom.
Yeah, man.
That was wisdom. She listening to the show.
Yeah,
that
man.
Was wisdom. That's what that was.
I mean,
that
you know,
like
yo, to be honest, how many of us, you know what I'm saying, can be in a situation where, you know, our mom, you know what I'm saying, is calling us on the show, whether our moms are here or not. You know what I mean? She's listening. That's saying something.
That was wisdom.
Yeah.
That was he heard her, and he knew what she was saying. But listen, here's a scenario. You guys heard of Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when guys come in there, they a lot of those guys, a lot of the alcoholics and drug addicts. I'll put it this way: how many people that you know have come into the church drunks and had oil poured all over them and had tried for they stick around in church for a minute, and then the church say they backslide, right? And they
mm-hmm.
go back out in the street and they go back out in the world. And then they get beat up some more, and they come back to the church. And they do this for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then the church says, hey, you know, the church's solution is, hey, you need to go to a rehab somewhere. And they go off to a rehab, and there's a 12-step program, Alcoholics Anonymous, AANA. And the first thing they tell you when you come in there, they say that I admit that I am powerless over this substance, and that my life is unmanageable. So they have you admit that there's something wrong with you. And then the next step, step two, says that I believe in a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity. Now, here's where it gets interesting, because that power can be anything. And there's a lot of people that come in from the masjid. They come in from Islam, they're coming from Christianity, the church, been there all their life, straight up drunkards, crackhead or alcoholic, whatever. And they come in, and then there's some people that come in with no belief system, and then there are people who are there, and they say, man, you can take, and this is what they tell you, man, you can make that chair your higher power. If you believe in that chair, and that chair can restore you to sanity, then yes, by all means. Now, these people go through this process with this program, believing in whatever. Some people never tell you. They just say higher power because they don't want to associate with anything that did not work. Mm-hmm. And then 4 years later, they still associating it to whatever it is, or maybe that. And that, and now here's the last step. Now they go through all these steps, and then at the last step, it says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, then I'll go out and help somebody do the same thing that I did. Now, my point in saying that was, there are things that work for a number of different people, which is what we were talking about. And you're going to always go back to the same thing. You know, it's the fact that there are things that work for other people that don't work for you. And it doesn't mean that what you believe is wrong. It just means that it works for you, if that's what you choose to believe. Now, me personally, I preach the gospel. I lived it. At least I tried to, you know. But I realized that the creator or creatress that I know is too big to be in that book. It's too big, you know, way too big. There's way too much in the universe. Like, for example, those kids got killed yesterday or the day before. Now, if you go to those, that community, and say, well, you know, one of Jesus Christ, they're going to tell you to get out of here because most of that community is Jewish. And to them, whatever they've been living is working because they're rich, they got big houses, they satisfied with God, and we can't justify. Religion is the only thing that separates man. That's what separates us, and that's where that argument comes in. Whether you believe it or I believe it, I can go in every book. And as a matter of fact, I was reading yesterday, it's a book called The Seal of Nectar, and the guy says, the prophet came, and the prophet said, kill the guy, because the guy was going to help some people. He said, kill him. And then the other guy said, well, don't kill him because he's blind in his heart and with his eyes. So in other words, he can't see who you are, and he don't see you with his heart. He don't even have compassion. Killing him ain't going to do no good for anybody. He ain't going to do no harm to nobody. And that's where religion is. If we just let people live and remove the religious part of it, that conversation goes away. It really does. Because nothing about what we believe will change anything. It doesn't change anything. But the person who believes it. Faith is for the person who believes it, not for anybody else. And when I realized that, I said, you know, here's a question that I pose. I pose this question. If Jesus works for you, keep him. If Allah works for you, keep him. If Buddha works for you, keep him. But if either one of them ever call for you to destroy somebody, condemn somebody, or hurt somebody, it's time for you to
reevaluate
what you believe.
And Senefa, I actually usually, like, whenever I take out the show, that's what I say every single time. If you are a Buddhist, keep being a Buddhist. If you are a Christian, keep believing in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you are a Muslim, keep believing in Allah and the Prophet. And the reason why I say that is because I know I live in a reality, and I know that everybody does not share the same beliefs or religious values that I do. And because I know they don't, I have to accept the fact that my reality just may be my own reality. And I can't condemn anybody else based on my reality. Because what's
right.
real to me, what's personal to me, is exactly that. Those words, real and personal, to self. And what Jay was saying earlier, the only thing that I can do is minister the good news that I have to someone else. And if they accept it, all praises be. If they don't, and if you can find something else that helps you, all praises be.
Right.
And it's like a lot of times religion, like you said, if you don't accept my reality, I make my reality your reality and condemn you from it. And
yo, you know what? I want to read this. It's just a little story real quick, man. It's real quick.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of ties in here. It says, a young couple moves into a new neighborhood. The next morning while they are eating breakfast, the young woman sees her neighbor hanging the wash outside. That laundry is not very clean. She doesn't know how to wash correctly. Perhaps she needs better laundry soap. Her husband looks on but remains silent. Every time her neighbor hangs her wash to dry, the young woman makes the same comments. A month later, the woman is surprised to see a nice clean wash on the line and says to her husband, look, she's finally learned how to wash correctly. I wonder who taught her this, replies the husband. I got up early this morning and cleaned our windows. And so it is
right.
with life. What we
right.
see when watching others depends on the clarity of the window mm-hmm. through which we look.
That's right. That's right. Because you got to look at what religion is, man. People, we don't, you believe what you believe because you were introduced to what you believe. It's not like you reached a certain point and you were exposed. See, you weren't exposed to Islam or Buddhism or Animism or any other religion. You weren't exposed to those when you were growing up. And you often hear people say people in the Middle East are Muslim because they were born in the Middle East. And then you hear people say people in America are Christian because they were born in a Christian civilization or a Christian society. It's not, and that became our choice. We didn't have much choice, man. It was the Baptist, Pentecostal, and Holiness Church growing up. You didn't have choices like you could, your father, they introduced, because they were taboo. See, we were taught that religion separates. We were taught where we are. We didn't learn. This is not learned behavior. I mean, this is not something we were born with. We were taught to be separate. You know, the church tells us be separate. The Quran tells us to separate ourselves. So if you really, and nothing about the teachings of Jesus separated people. Can you find me a scripture where he sent somebody to hell?
Yeah, I actually think I could find a scripture.
Which
where
one?
Jesus did separate. When he said, he was talking, but he was saying that, they should, certain people should get away from him because, you know, they didn't believe and he would, he told them
right,
to
depart into. Right, that
yeah.
was, but those were not, those were supposed to be in the afterlife, or was he sending them, well, either way, my point is that it's, our separations and our divisions, man, come from religion, because if you take away everything, the instructions to send people to hell, then nobody goes. Nobody goes. They're evil acts, and people have to pay for them. You know, like everybody's making a big thing about the kids that got killed. And it is a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. But when we really, really look at it, if you believe that people were predestined, like Bible people, people who believe in the Bible say that people were predestined before the foundation of the earth, you know, then that was supposed to happen, right? If that's what you believe. Then if you believe that this was a sick individual, then where's the evil in the sick individual? Then there's some church folks say he was demon-possessed. You know, there are a lot of different scenarios that people use, man, but the cycle of life is what it is, you know, and we feel for life and then we keep moving. But we got to stop letting religion separate us, man, and divide us, because people, that's where the wars come from. I can see if we was debating a particular scripture, like if we were debating whether or not, you know, manna fell from the sky. You know, if we were debating that, then that would be an issue for us. But to fight about what somebody believes, a belief system, I stopped trying to figure that out. I did, because it doesn't make sense. Man, if I lie to you and you believe it, can't nobody tell you it was a lie? Nobody. Because you believe it. Seriously, you believe it. And so the growing side of it is, that's, you know, that's what it is, man. And so building each other up and being strong and trying to find a way to establish. God called me yesterday. It was interesting, too, Jermaine. He called me from Trenton. And he told me, he said, hey, man, I'm looking at this building. They want $4.5 million for the building to start a program there in Trenton to train people to do certain things. I didn't know. And I said, well, okay, that's a good idea. Why'd you call me? He said, because, you know, you're going to be the guy to help. And I said, I mean, $4.5 million, I don't know, you $5, $45, something like that, you know. But this brother said, yeah, man, this brother said, no, man, you're going to be the guy to help me. We're going to get it, and you're going to be the guy to help me. Now, I could say the Creator, God sent him to me. I could say the universe connected us. I could say Allah did it. What difference does it make? That's my point. My point is, what difference does it make? What do you like me, Jay?
Yeah, man. He's a cool brother,
D.A.?
Man.
You, D.A.?
Yeah. Yeah, of course I do.
What if I never, what if you didn't know whether I was Muslim, Christian, which y'all don't? Y'all still ain't figured that out. You figured that out, Jay?
No, what, I'm going to tell you right now, I think you, what is it, animism?
Animistic? I am animistic. I'm Christian. I'm Muslim. All of those. Mm. I'm all the above. That's why, that's what we're all supposed to be.
All right, Sinef, I have a question for you. My question is the topic of the story. Which would you say, is something true because you believe it, or you believe it because it's true?
You can't make a lie true. You can't make an untrue true believing it. It's still going to be untrue even if nobody believes it.
But my other question is, can a lie actually help you or benefit you in some kind of way?
In the long run? No.
Okay, for instance, let's say that my particular religion, makes me believe a certain type of way, and through this belief, I've actually accustomed great ethic behaviors, and I've changed because of it. But come to find out that my belief, factually isn't true. I found it out not to be true. But it still helped me in some kind of way.
You're going. I mean, it's the age-old conversation. Is the Bible true? There are things in there that are not true. There are things in there that were not meant to be taken literal that are taken literal. And I put my faith and trust in the Bible or the Quran, and it changed my life. Later on, I found out that the world didn't flood, and that Jews weren't in Egypt, and that, you know, Paul didn't see, it was a street light that blinded him instead of the, you know. So mm-hmm. you found out all those things, and then you said, wow, but the faith cured. Well, the faith didn't change you. It was the moral values that you extrapolated from the scripture that changed you. You follow mm-hmm. what I'm saying? It wasn't the story. Yeah, it wasn't the stories that changed the person. It was the, so when you say now, because you changed and those stories were not true, the practices that, or the messages or moral codes that you got, listen, man, I know that Mother Goose is not true, but I understand the story of the three little pigs and the moral code of building my, whatever it is that I do, on a strong foundation. I understand that. So if I'm not holding on to the Noah's Ark floating for a year, I'm holding on to the fact that I, my, you know, my life changed because I don't have to hate anybody, or I took the moral codes from it. Now, on the other sense, when you get to a point to where you start believing things that you know are, you trying to force yourself to believe something that you know is not true. You can't, the brain cannot hold two a negative and positive on the same thing. It's called mm-hmm. cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
And you can't hold both of those trains of thought at the same time. One of them is going to outweigh the other. Now, what becomes more important, what I find, to people who have a strong sense of belief-oriented thought, is what becomes more important to them is more so the belief, not the belief, but the practice of the moral codes, more mm-hmm. so than the stories. They don't hold on. You ask Jermaine, do you believe that the Noah's Ark floated for a year with 2 million creatures on it? He's going to say no, as I don't
yes,
think that's what that story
yes,
is.
Yes, he does.
No, no, hold up. Let me tell you like this. This is what I believe. I believe. You got to understand, we're talking about belief here, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I didn't see the flood with my own eyes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now, thinking with your natural mind, you'll be like, oh, no, that's impossible. Now, when it comes to my faith, I believe just because I haven't seen miraculous powers or things like that in my physical being, I still, it's something in me that does not count it out, like it's not possible.
Okay.
You believe that because the word talks about Noah and the ark, you believe it to be a true story, correct?
Put it this way. I believe this is one thing that I get out of Noah is like in this time right now that, you know, people talk Christ is coming back or Jesus coming back, be ready. So I believe, I look at that story is, in a sense, don't get caught butt naked. Like, don't
all
get
right,
caught.
All right, so my question is,
do you
believe in the actual account of Noah and the flood? Do you believe that actually happened? It's a historical fact that actually happened.
Yeah, according to my faith, yeah, I believe it's possible. I didn't see it, but I believe in the word of God, man.
Right. But you can't, and he just answered it.
Okay.
Now, the reason he believes that is because nothing has challenged it in his psyche. He doesn't care what you say. But nothing has been presented to him to challenge what he believes in his within the court of his own mind, not what somebody's telling him, but in the court of his own mind. Now, let's say for a assignment, Jermaine, your faith. Let me ask you this. Would your faith in God change if you found out that that story had a totally different meaning? That it wasn't never a flood, but it had a totally different meaning. Would your faith in the God that you serve change?
No, the faith in my God wouldn't change because me personally, I believe I've got results out of the God that I believe.
Exactly. Now, here's what I need here, and that's my case in point. My case in point was people don't hold on to the stories of the Bible. They hold on to them because that's what they were taught. Nothing challenges them. Now, fact. Here's a fact. Just dealing with that situation. Fact. The flood happened 21st, 22nd century B.C. The 17th dynasty of Kemet or Egypt was in full swing. Never skipped a beat. Nothing flooded. Was right there. Nothing flooded. Life kept
Hold on one second. We have another caller calling in.
I'm already calling.
Oh, caller?
Yes.
Yes, how are you?
Fine, how are you guys?
Doing good.
Enjoying your discussion. I really enjoyed this discussion. I want to interject something. I read a book, not really read it, it was pretty much online, called The Book of Enki by Zechariah Sitchin. And if you're familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I've heard of it. I've never read it before.
Okay. They actually have it online on YouTube. Somebody actually can read it. This one guy was reading it chapter by chapter. And he also did a play-by-play synopsis on what he deduced from it, and kind of got on my nerves a little bit because I was deducing my own thing. But anyway, the reason why I called in is when he was talking about, I can't remember which of the guys, which of you guys were talking about that, but you guys were saying something about Noah's Ark and was it possible? Well, in the Zechariah Sitchin's book of the Book of Enki, the premise was brought up, what if, and we're thinking of nowadays, current times, what if the ark and all of the animals on the ark were a DNA bank? Okay. Anybody thought of that?
What if they were DNA banks?
We have the capabilities now of such, and no one can really say or determine if, you know, that was art imitating life or life imitating art at some point, you know, and a total recall on what possibly could have happened. Now, I need to say this. I don't subscribe to any religion myself personally. I grew up in church like most autochthonous individuals in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
However, at this current time, I regard myself as a spiritual developing man who happens to be of a female persuasion. So, but, I mean, what do you guys think of that premise possibly being a DNA bank?
Well,
Well, the only thing that I would have to say is the only reason I won't necessarily accept that because there's no proof to show that Noah actually collected any type of DNA, let alone Noah knowing what it was. Now, if there was some type of proof to state that Noah did know what DNA was and he actually knew how to extract DNA, then that's something definitely to consider. But since I never actually heard of anything dealing with that, then I definitely wouldn't be able to accept that unless I had some type of evidence to prove that, to back that up, because it does state in the Bible that there were animals that he loaded on two by two, and in other parts of the scripture it says it was loaded on they were loaded up by seven, but regardless of how, he said actual animals was loaded onto the ship.
Right. Well,
and if they had DNA capability, right, back then, why would it have took us so long for them to even get it up until now? Wouldn't that be something that would continue?
Well, isn't there a lot of information that was encoded on the Egyptian walls that are you know, over the last maybe couple of decades or so, they've just uncovered. I mean, they've just been able to decipher, and maybe that is one of the reasons why it took so long for it to occur. But, you know, you think about this as well. The information and knowledge that we're receiving in current times, the U.S. government and other powers that be, namely the blue blood entities of our globe, have had this information and technology for literally decades before it comes to our knowledge. Okay, so and if you think back, the first, you remember when they first bred the first, well, what did they call it? See, the first lamb or sheep.
It was a sheep. Yep.
Yeah, right. That occurred, how long ago? Was it about 20 years or so ago?
It was longer than that, yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Now, that's the first one that they told us about.
Right. They had been trying
for years. Doing it for some time prior to that.
Right.
That was just the first successful time that they, it occurred. Okay.
And even the sheep
was
2 years old.
I was thinking about, I mean, we all could be right and we all could be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, my position is that there was never a flood, period.
Okay.
When you go back and look at the historical information, Kemet or Egypt, like I was just telling him, the 17th dynasty never skipped a beat. It never skipped a beat. There was no life loss. It was in full swing. That was the hub of Africa. And so when you talk about a flood wiping out and changing the world, and then you go back and look at the Sumerian tablets, that's where you're referring to.
Right.
You're referring to the Sumerian tablets that go back, the library that they found over there in Mesopotamia with the 22,000 tablets that talks about Enki and creating the creation of man. There's another creation story there that predates the Bible by 5-10,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then if we go back even farther than that, there are hundreds of African folklore, which is what a lot of these things are taken from. We look at David and Goliath and the Iliad. So everything has a correlation. I just was talking to the brother about Kevin Graves' book called The 16 Crucified Saviors, which were all predate Christianity by hundreds and thousands of years. But when it comes down to the belief, my point that I was trying to make to brother was, it's okay that whether you believe in Jesus or Krishna. You know, for a perfect example, here, I'm working on my book, and I'll share this with you. Krishna predates Jesus by thousands of years, right? And listen to this. Here you got Krishna says he was born Immaculate Conception. He was called the Son of God. He was sent from heaven to earth in the form of a man. He was called the Savior, the second deity in the Trinity. Krishna's father, like Jesus, was also a carpenter. Three wise men and some shepherds came to visit him. An angel issued a warning telling them that they were trying to kill him. He fasted in the wilderness. The seed of woman bruising the serpent's head, it was how he was identified. His mother was identified. And he was called the Lion of the tribe of Saki. He said he was the resurrection. He was without sin. He was born human and divine. And performed many miracles. And the first thing that he did was the same that Jesus did, was heal a leper, casted out demons. What else? Meek, he was meek and merciful, you know, criticized for hanging out with sinners. He also had a Last Supper, forgave his enemies, and was crucified and resurrected in 3 days. Now, had I not said Krishna, that was the description of Christ, Jesus.
Can I interject just a little, just a second, just to add on to what you said? Not only Krishna, but there are many other other believing people as well who also carry those traits. And a lot of times Christians would say that these predate the story of Krishna and the story of Dionysus and, you know, all of these other savior gods as well. But in actuality, Christianity has adopted a lot of surrounding traditions and religions of their time. Even at that particular time, there were a lot, because these stories, the stories that you said actually circulated during the time of antiquity. So
right.
These stories weren't rare to them. They knew these stories as well.
But when we get into belief-oriented thought, which is what this is, what this is, this belief, it's thought based on belief. It's, and so my point is, it's okay to believe whatever it is that you believe. It's all right, because the truth of it is, like I said, even if the story changes for you, it does not make the moral value and moral codes of what you're extracting. Because each religion, now tell me if I'm wrong, unless you, even Satanism, people who practice, what is that? What are they called?
Satanism.
Satanism. Even those guys, to a certain degree, practice the religion is supposed to produce righteousness, right?
Yes, it
every
is.
Every one of them, every religion has a moral code that's supposed to produce righteousness. The only thing that separates the religion is the laws that was put in there to control the people.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So if I say that, you know, like, for example, the sister said that the Sumerian tablets talked about the creation of man. That God created man in a vase or a bowl or something, you know, and he created him out of clay in this bowl, and they created him to worship, to be a slave unto the God. Now, Christianity would look at that and say, man, that's crazy. God didn't create us to be no slaves. But why are we slaves? We still slaves. When we look at the God of America, most people say,
in the Bible.
Yeah, but even deeper than that. So my point is, let me bring the flood in for a second so that we can get back to Noah. What the flood symbolizes. Yeah, because this is deep. The flood, what if the flood simply meant that the world was flooded with a particular knowledge that would destroy itself? It was destroy mankind as you know it.
Ooh.
What if it, because, and then from, and what if the flood meant that a particular kind of man, I mean, a particular kind of knowledge would flood the earth and destroy mankind as we know it. The knowledge of. Because think for a minute, we didn't know anything about some things that we know now. Like the sister said, they've been on the walls and nobody knew about it except us. I mean, except our people. Those are our people. Those are black people. And I've always said, if there's going to be a religion that I follow, it's going to have to be the one that my ancestors followed, not one that the people beat into me. So this thing, that why is America so bent on destroying everything? Why are they so bent on acquiring everything? What is it that... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to cut you off. And I'm with you on that, but I would submit it's not necessarily America, because if you really look at things in a logical sense, just back up from being in America and back back up and look at everything in a global aspect as being man in the entirety of the planet and the solar system. Well, let's get back down to the planet Earth, and look at who's really pulling the strings. It's not the president. It's not the people who the Congress. It's bigger than both of those entities, okay? So it's something, some entity, a group of individuals, you know, very, 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 very small group of individuals. And if you've ever played chess before, that's how they think, they look at this thing. They're playing chess. They don't care anything about individual lives, families. If you don't have a certain amount of money, I'm not even talking about millions of dollars. You know, some of these sports figures and all of these movie people, they don't even have enough money. I'm talking about unless you have a certain bloodline, they ain't thinking about you. That's the first thing on that. Another thing I want to bring up, the flood.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Can you guys
hear me?
Okay. Yeah,
okay.
You went out for a second.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. Said my daughter's fixing my phone for me. you were saying something about the flood and to flood maybe knowledge. I like that premise. I really do. But to get on the other guy's side, maybe the flood was not global. Maybe it was regional, like the flood that they had in New Orleans or the one that they had in Haiti or the one we had here in my city, Memphis. You see,
that would change the whole city. Right,
it only covered a certain portion.
But that would change your Bible completely.
Yeah, it would.
No,
it
but
would
see,
change
the Bible.
Bible
was written on the premise of a particular area and region. Don't forget that.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
Okay.
The scripture says. The scripture says
okay.
That Noah took because God flooded and killed the world off. He killed everything on it, and that the purpose for him taking them was.
Let's do this. Okay, so where did Noah them launch from?
Nowhere.
If you asking me,
you asking me what country they were they in?
What country were they in when they launched the ark?
The same Walt Disney.
Excuse me. Oh, you're real funny. Okay, let's.
No, I'm just saying. You're asking me. I'm telling you.
I'm just going to interject this, just some food for thought. What country were they in, according to the Bible, from which the ark was launched?
In Africa. They were in Africa.
Yeah, there was a country in particular, though.
Okay.
Any of the other ministers know about that? Y'all remember?
Well, I know that the Garden of Eden was in the land of Ur, which is Mesopotamia in that area in Africa. But
okay.
Now, I'm just
trying to make my case for a regional flood versus a worldwide flood. Okay.
Okay.
So okay, say Ur, Mesopotamia, or modern day is it Palestine now? It landed on Mount Arafat, which isn't that far. Think about it. From where Ur is, right? So that's why I said regional. And you guys don't have to interject. The second thing, someone said something about walking down the birth of Jesus and also when talked about Mary and the Immaculate Conception and all of that. And I would submit that you Google the word pathogenesis in humans.
Come on. What's the chances? Scientifically, it could happen. That could happen.
Scientifically, it has happened.
Right, but here's my point. You're saying that in order for that to happen let's go back and let's look at the other 16. Because you can't stop at Jesus and say, that it happened. Let's go back to Dionysus, who shares the same thing. As a matter of fact, the same cross, his image is the same crucified Savior on a cross. You go back to Glycon, and Glycon is the same one. If you go back, you keep going, Zoroaster, and he's the same one. Attis, and he's the, I mean, it's, and you got Horus, and these, and this goes on for 16 of them. And so we can't say, all right, so out of those 16, the last one was the one. Now you got some.
But
who's
not the last one? Is what I'm trying to tell you. And see, I'm trying to.
Who's not the last one?
It's not common, but it's not the only one. See, he wasn't the only one.
Have the word superfecundation? Have you ever heard of that word?
No. Can you spell that for me?
It's S, it's S super, like you spell super.
Uh-huh. S-U-P-E-R.
Uh-huh. S as in Frank. E-C. D-A. I mean, E-C-O-N. D-A-T-I-O-N. Super fecundation.
Okay.
Now. And I said that to say what you're saying, okay, yeah, well, Mary could have been, every so often, animals, maybe once or twice that happens, if it happens. Now, Mary, it happens more so with insects, that what you're saying happens more so with certain species of insects and not even animals, with certain species of insects. Now, superfecundation is a process to where a woman can be pregnant with a set of twins by two different fathers, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, could Cain and Abel be, since we're talking on them terms, could Cain and Abel be the twins and one be the serpent's son and the other one be Adam's son?
I can see where that could happen if she had sex with both of them. Yeah, why not?
Right. Now So here's my point. When we get into trying to decipher, and forgive me, I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings by saying this. When we get into trying to decipher and make real a story that is not real, then that's playing. I mean, we know, but there's no way to say, okay, Noah happened because they did it with DNA. Well, no, they did. Well, Jesus, it was immaculate conception because, it could have happened. Well, has it happened since?
Hold on, I'm going to have to interject right here real quick, 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, to everyone out there that is listening on Dirty Church Radio, listen, we appreciate everyone that calls in and tunes into the show. Listen, look forward to more greater shows during this week. We love every time that we have an opportunity to come on the air, and we thank the the callers that constantly call and just give us your points and views on things. In tonight's show, whether you believe in God or you don't believe in God, whether it's true to you, and if it is true to you, continue to keep believing on it. Whatever makes you better, whatever makes you conquer those inner things that has been stumbling blocks in your life and it makes you hurtle over it, just keep embracing that thing that you're embracing, as long as it makes you a better part of this world's creation. Listen, here on Dirty Church Radio, we love you all. Stay tuned to the next show, and you can catch the rest of this show on the On Demand. God bless you.
All right, you guys can continue to talk. We're on the archives of the show now.
Yeah, so my point is that, you know, a lot of times we try to make sense of things that make no sense. Now, I know for a fact that there was no flood. That never happened. There's nothing in the archaeological evidence of the history of the world to where the world even flooded in that region.
Okay.
Never happened. And so so there has to be another reason for it.
Well, just,
what's the other reason?
Just to interject, you said it before, Denefra, you actually made the statement, and I never even thought about it the way you said it until just now. I heard it before, but I never thought about it. You said, is it possible that this man had thousands of species? Now, let's just think about how many species of fish there are. He had all of these species of fish. He had all of, think about how many species of each animal there is. And he bought two of each. Do you know how many species of animals there are in this world? And
right.
You're saying that this man put each species on this boat? Now, that's
bro,
something really to consider.
Let me share something with you. The Titanic. Let's look at the Titanic. Titanic was 175 feet high, right? Deep.
Mm-hmm.
It was 882 feet long. It was 92 feet deep. I mean, 92 feet in width. And it was constructed of steel. And the most that it could hold on there was 3,547 people and enough food for two weeks. And it sank. It was made out of steel. It sank. Noah's Ark was 45 feet deep, 450 feet in length, 75 feet wide, and it was made out of wood. Now, they said that he had over, if you do the math, it comes out to 7,428 mammals, 4,602 birds, 3,724 reptiles. This is just going by what the scripture said, which would total 15,754 animals, right? And here's the real part that gets you, is that he was supposedly 600 years old. There's no record on this planet to where anybody has ever lived to be 600 years old. Ever, 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 outside of the book. Now, doesn't change the fact. What does that say? There's an allegorical meaning to that, and it only applies to the people who believe it.
And you said something very, very intelligent. You said whether or not the story is true, if you find out that the story that you believe to be true was actually false, does it change who you
exactly.
are now? And
exactly.
if it doesn't change who you are now, it doesn't matter if the story is true or
That's
not.
That's right. Find a reason why you believed it in the first place. Because, like I said, the premise of moving past religion, because religion tries to make sense of things that make no sense. And when you can't make sense of it, you just blame it on God and say, oh, well, God is
It's called
wonderful.
God of the gaps theory.
Right. So, you know, we got and so, but then we also turn around and say, well, God is an intelligent God. He made me in his image. If he made me in his image, he gave me sound mind, right thinking. And you got to say, man, look, bro, the Noah story, if it wasn't true, David slaying Goliath, if it wasn't true, it's true in your life because it encourages you. I use those stories all the time. I use the Bible a lot.
Me too.
Now, does it mean that I believe every word in it? No. I use the Quran a lot. Does it mean that I believe every word in it? No. I use the Hosea a lot. The matter netter a lot. So when we get to a point to where Paul was, and I keep going back to this because Paul said, hey, man, I become all things to all men so that I might win some. You can't become all things to all men if you don't know what you become. I was sharing with somebody the other day. Here's what Christianity does. Here's what most Christians, I'm not going to say all of them, but most Christians, the only book that they'll pick up in their entire Christian walk is the Bible. And they will debate the Bible from a one-sided perspective because they've never touched anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything that you throw out is wrong to them. And they'll fight it to the grave until something challenges their personal walk. They'll always carry that. And it's okay. I just learned to let people have whatever they believe, man. It's really okay.
The this great statement made a good point there. Let me ask you guys, I know you guys, some of you guys know this. Ptolemy the First of Egypt.
Anybody, say that again.
Ptolemy the First of Egypt.
Uh-huh.
Are y'all familiar?
Your phone is kind of muffled. I can't.
Oh.
Ptolemy? You said Ptolemy?
Can you hear me better?
Yeah.
Okay. Ptolemy the First Soter
mm-hmm.
of Egypt.
Okay.
Okay. He was the first one that's documented that I could find who he was self-titled, named himself Christ. So Christian worship, actually, there's an excerpt that says that the people who in that region at the time when Egypt was taken over actually were called Christians. Is this
what?
They were called Christians.
Who
so, and that was back in 367 B.C. through 283 B.C. So
right.
Y'all might want to check into that, too.
Right, but that was after they were conquered. He was actually a Roman.
I only brought that up because, you know, a lot of people don't understand what the word Christ means. And
right, but there were many.
Out on the web. She is just told. I mean, I give all props to her. I don't follow anyone. My philosophy is I can go to hell by myself. I don't need to follow nobody there.
Right. If you get there, let me know because I don't want to go that way. If it get warm, just say go back.
Well, you understand what I'm saying. I was like, I can't follow
yeah.
nobody there. I can go by myself.
There
I ain't trying
go.
To go, but I'm not following nobody.
Right,
than getting
right.
there on there. If I go,
right.
I'm going on my own accord, you know,
right.
because I didn't figure it out, not because
right.
somebody led me in that direction. I believed what they told me type of thing. But this
right.
sister, I don't know if you guys have heard of her, sister Dr. Yafabe, the best thing she ever did was she put a video on YouTube called How to Read a Dictionary. Actually, it's called Piercing the Fog, How to Read a Dictionary, and
uh-huh.
she actually breaks down how to read words in a dictionary. She advocates getting hold to in some sort, and I found one online that you can actually read online.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 1828 Noah Webster's Dictionary, along with your the strong, exhaustive concordance. And that kind of helps to decipher some of that information you're reading in the Bible, to do some decoding.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been really helpful to me.
Yeah, it does. I think the times are so critical that what we're looking for ain't in the book.
Mm-hmm. It's,
what we're looking
it's
for.
It's in us.
It's in us, and it's what we're looking for. That's right, and it's in the universe. And all of those with their head down in a book is going to get either chopped off, you know, and I'm serious. You know, there's an old African proverb that says, ears that don't hear will accompany the head when it is chopped off. You know, mm-hmm. and I think that when the thing that we're looking for is not in a book. We've been reading that book, man, for 500 years. No, let me scratch that. It ain't been that long. Let me scratch that. Let's go back. We've been practicing Christianity, westernized Christianity, because that's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
We've been practicing westernized Christianity for less than 100 years, 200, less than 100 years, really. What we have now is we've only been practicing this, black people I'm talking about, for less than 100 years.
Did someone say something? Oh yeah, it was me, DA, just to let you guys know that there actually were during the time of Jesus and no, as a matter of fact after Jesus there were hundreds of different Christian sects after Jesus, and I'm not even talking about during our time. I'm talking about within within 30 to 100 years after the death of Jesus, there were hundreds of different types of Christianity where some believed that Jesus was all human, no God. Others believed that he was all God and no human. Some people believe that he was both equal. Some people actually believe that there were 365 gods.
So
that even then there were so many types of Christianity even back then. Now to even thousands and thousands of years later, just times that by 1,000, and that's how many more Christian faiths. Had come, and Senefer was speaking about just a sect of black Christian movements, and he's saying how young this is.
It's only 100 years old. It's less than 100. Because you got to think. Let's think about this for a minute. We've come out of slavery in the 1800s, 1900s was really – no, let's go back. Let's be honest. Although they say Christianity, let's look at what we have today. We weren't able to go into the same churches with them until 1958. We weren't able to share churches with them until 1958. And even then, they had to really love you because the churches was full of Klans. Because this was their God. They wore the cross. They burnt it on you. That was white. That wasn't what we were when we came here. We didn't have Bibles. And so when you're talking about the movement of Christianity, black Christians in the United States, what we practice today, this thing today, is more, I mean, it's less than 100 years old.
Yeah. I have a question for the young lady that's on the line. Mm-hmm. You said that you actually grew up in the church, correct?
Yes.
What made you stop believing in the Christian reality, so to say?
A lot of what made me stop believing in the Christian religion was the people. And I know people are not, I know we're not supposed to be following any man. However, when I look at the people who run in the church and the people who shouting in the church, because I grew up Church of God in Christ. And that meant like going to church 2-3 times a week.
That's
and
all.
And then I turned around and I saw the heads of the churches, not just mine, but others as well. And I was a bench member, as we say down here in the South, for quite a time. And then I started getting involved in the church, volunteering, being on different committees and whatnot. And that's what really kicked me out, because I saw the gang, okay? Granted, my great-grandfather was a pastor of two churches. I was treated like a little queen, a little princess when I went to church with him. And I had an aunt who was she was a world-renowned gospel singer back in the day before she passed away. And so I understood at a later time in my life that, you know, the game of religion, okay, it kind of solidified as I got older. So for a long time, I didn't go to anybody's church. I didn't pick up a Bible. I didn't do too much studying in relation to that. It was only until I had my daughter, who's now 21, that I even attempted to go back to church. And when I stepped back in, I saw the nepotism and the, you know, the cronyism, and I got out, and we never went back.
So you left for the people. You left because you didn't like the people.
Well, it wasn't the people just in my church. I took a question.
We're breaking up.
Yeah.
Am I? Okay. When I went to church and I would encounter people who were fellow employees, co-workers, and their attitudes, and found out they were Christians, and then I would see how, you know, politicians who said that they were Christians, and I was totally bagged up off of all of it. I was like, whoa. What is it about being a Christian that these people act the way that they do? And are they reading the same book? It started with white folks. I was like, okay, and I don't have anything against white people, but it's kind of, I took a sidestep and looked at both white folks and then how they would go to church all the time, how they would talk about the Bible, and then how they would treat black people. Then I started looking at black people, how these same black people would go to church all the time, and they treated other black people like, you know. And so I backed all the way up off of it. And it was only until recently that I decided to, and I've always been a real spiritual person. I was able to pick up on things and spirits of people and stay away from environments, walk into a room. It's like, whoa, I feel something. You know, I've never been able to put my finger on it. And but that's, to answer your question, it was the I don't believe in being in an environment where I don't feel comfortable, and I just never felt comfortable, you know,
so it's like
in a church environment.
Like
there was so much lying, so much pretense going on.
So do you?
And then
do you
a lot
hold
of people were just following,
true?
And I'm not a follower, never have been.
Well, do you? Does the Bible have some type of validity to you? Do you see the Bible to be true to you?
I'm like the other guy. He was stating, I see the book as the Holy Bible as a book of information. I think it's part historical information, maybe for another group of persons, whether it was plagiarized by them, adopted by them from another culture. It does have good stories in there with good moral stories in there. There's some things that you can learn from. Now, when it comes to the New Testament and the divinity of Jesus Christ and all of that, I have stepped all the way up off of that. And I'll tell you why. You just said something about Jesus. And, I mean, some of this information is out here in your face. With the advent of the Internet, you can Google almost anything. And you don't have to stop at the first entry that's there. You can buy books. You can go to the library and research. I just, when you say something about Jesus, I Googled the letter J. The first thing that popped up, the letter J is only 500 years old, okay? So, I mean, I'm not trying to lead anyone but myself. That's why I can't allow other people to mislead me. Now, people,
so
I agree with the young man who said early, everybody, if you get something out of it, great. But I get things out of it. However, I don't believe it lock, stock, and barrel.
Okay. Guys, that's enough for you. Was going to say something?
Yeah, I was, you know, some things are, like I said, man, you know, if you sit down and you, because blindly we can't afford to be led captive again, We can't, black people, we cannot afford to be led captive again. And my grandmother, I use this analogy all the time. My grandmother, bless God rest her soul, she told me often that she only had a fourth grade education, right? And every morning she would get up, she had a big Bible sitting on her. She wasn't Catholic, and neither did I know it was a Catholic Bible. But she had a big white Bible, leather. She had the bad boy wrapped in plastic, and she'd get up every morning, she'd dust it, and she'd put it on her reading table, and she'd get the paper off the door, and she'd read her Bible. She couldn't read but about 2-3 scripture, you know? And I know she didn't understand that much of it, but the book meant something to her. It was the book that meant something to her, because that's where God lived for her. It was the holy word of God. That's where it lived. And she, so doing an independent study on it was out of the question for her. And so what, but her spirit was so sweet. She volunteered at the church. She played organ at Wayne Avenue Baptist Church for 60 years.
Mm.
She served her church. When she died, the church was, and she taught my mother to do that. But now when you go back to her mother had probably, her mother was a slave. My grandmother was born in 1903. So that made her mother a slave. She couldn't read. But whatever my grandmother had was passed down to her. So it was a word of mouth religion that we have been practicing all this time. Now, one thing that my grandmother did push, she said, baby, go to school because you got to be greater than me. You got to learn to read better than me. You got to learn to understand better than me. So she knew that her education, she knew that the value of education would advance my understanding and my knowledge of things around me. She understood that, right? And so now I go to school and I go to college and I learn, and guess what? I learned that the stories that she was taught wasn't true. So do I do her an injustice by dropping the ball back where she left it because that's what she told me and she believed, or do I take the ball and run? Because that's what she wanted me to do. So my point in saying that is that some of the stuff that we believe was based solely on word of mouth. We could not read. Listen, man, there were black code. They were called the Christian Black Codes of 1833. And what they said was, if you teach a black person to read, you can get whipped. If you get caught teaching a black person to read the second time, you get whipped some more. And if you get caught a third time, you might get killed. I think the lashes was like 700 and something. Plus, you had to pay a fine. That meant that they beat you with a whip 700 times, man. That meant you were going to die. They were going to beat you to death. That's what that meant, because that thing ripped your back open, right? But these were the punishments for teaching black people to read. Why didn't you want us to read? Why didn't you want us to be educated? And I always tell people still today, if they don't treat you right, they sure ain't going to teach you right. So half of the stuff that they, yeah, come on, think about it.
Here,
let's look at this for a minute. Black people, we keep going through this problem right here. The government does something to us, and guess what we do? We go, because the government say, well, you can't pull out guns and go to war with us because we got an army. But I'll tell you what to do. If you don't like what we did, you can start a peaceable march, and y'all can march down here on the steps. Y'all can make signs, and you can holler and scream. And once you finish hollering and screaming, I want you to go back and pray to your God that he change our mind some kind of way, osmosis, then we change. So they tell us what it is. What makes you think they're going to tell us how to relieve ourselves or how to get from up under their spell? Religion is the last chain of bondage, man. That's the thing that made us passive. Look at every other civilization, man. Every other civilization on this planet fought the enemy. We never fought our enemy. We never even fought. We fight ourselves, but not to say that we go get guns and shoot at white people, because white people are not our enemy. There's a difference between white supremacy and white people. And what governs this world is white supremacy. I heard sisters say, "Oh, it's bigger, it's global." No, white supremacy governs this world, this globe as we know it. That's why the currency that governs this world is the United States of America. That's why our dollar is the world dollar. That's why they're trying to change it. But white supremacy governs this world because it's the value of the dollar. When you start talking about the crown heads of Europe, have you ever heard of those?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The crown heads of Europe. The crown heads of Europe, the Vatican, and the United States. That's what runs the United States military. That's your trinity.
Right. You're right.
That's your trinity. And so when you start talking about, and that's all white supremacy. And white supremacy governs what goes on in this country. And until we understand that and put the religion down, because the religion is the thing. Because let me tell you something, man. How do you stop what's going on? How do you stop it? You stop it with your dollar. Why do we keep giving them power? We give them power every time we go in debt. That's why we keep working for them, because we have to keep paying the bill. We got to have the bigger house. We got to have to do this. Why don't we shut it all down and say, "Hey, mama, let's guess what? I'm moving my kids in with your kids. We just going to live here." Because then they try to write in the lease that you can't do that. So we got to look at what we're dealing with, black people. This ain't, and as long as we play this religious game, we'll spend 3 hours. Guess what my thing is? If we can get on the radio for 3 hours, we can get on the radio for 3 hours and try to build something. Because that's what it boils down to. If it's just a matter of playing semantics and getting dictionaries and thesauruses and different, we got 980. They keep doing this to us, man. We don't see it. It's right in plain view. Every time, every 2 years, they come out with another Bible. Right now, it's 800 and something different translations of English Bibles. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just want to ask a quick question. Because you just brought up a real good point. It's 800 some different translations of the Holy Bible. And one of the premises that I think in the New Testament is that you got to go to all four corners of the earth, and you have to preach the Holy Word to every person before Jesus can come back. Now, and I'm not trying to step on nobody or nothing, but you think about it, somebody's been a couple of hundred, if not a couple of hundred thousand people being born on a daily basis. And I'm like, Jesus is not supposed to come back before everyone has been taught. That probably never happened. If you think of it in that aspect, with people being born on a daily basis, I mean hundreds and thousands and maybe tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of people being born on every day of the week, maybe every hour of the day.
It's a vicious cycle. So let me ask you this. So which we're waiting on the second coming of Christ, right?
Somebody is.
Well, I'm just saying that's what it's supposed to be, right?
He actually already came twice. We're waiting on the third.
On the third one. So, but my point is, as long as you're waiting, he ain't going to do nothing.
Right.
And we're waiting for somebody to come back and save us. That's what basically, we got it twisted. We took the spiritual meaning, we took the allegorical meaning and made it spiritual. And until we make it reality, that, you know, we'll be waiting. My grandmother waited. Her grandmother waited. The grandmother waited. Now watch this. If I take you back to the old slavery days when they used to sing that song, "I'm going home, I'm going to be the good, going home on that We're going to take a trip on that good old gospel ship. We'll go sailing through the air. You know what that was? That was an that was No Music hymn, right? That was the slaves used to sing that. They weren't talking about dying. They weren't talking about dying. That song talked about them going back to Africa on the good ship Jesus that brought them over here. It wasn't talking about dying. They were that was code for them singing. I'm going to take a trip on that good old gospel ship, and we go sailing through the air. Now, the translation came later, but they weren't even singing it in English because they didn't speak it. So they weren't talking about dying and going, who want to sing that? I know when I was in church and they used to always sing, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I really want to live. You know, I don't want to die.
Well, just to let you guys on that note, before the show actually cuts off and in mid conversation between somebody, that's when it ended now. But I think both listeners, Senef, I always thank you, man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you too.
Man, I'm just letting you know the words you speak, and every single time you get on the phone, you may not see it, but you touch a lot of people through the information and knowledge that you actually, you know what I'm saying, acquired and portray on, you know, on the radio show. Really, really thank you. And young lady, what's your name? I didn't catch your name.
It's Felice.
Oh, Felice. Thank you.
Felice.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And I hope, hopefully, this definitely won't be your last time. I'm not sure if it's your first time either.
Actually, this is my first. I've seen you guys online before, but I looked at the title today, and I was like, I got to hear this. You know, and then when I heard what you guys were talking about, I said, I got to call in. And then as soon as I call in, you guys picked up. So I really appreciate you guys keeping me on the line this long. I didn't know that I would be on this long. But I mean, it's so hard where I live to find somebody to dialogue with other than my daddy and my daughter.
Well, where you live?
In Memphis.
Don't tell me you live in Mesopotamia.
I might as well. I live in Memphis, Egypt, seem like. But in Memphis, Tennessee. So,
girl, you ain't at that far. There's people over there. Well, there's some other folks over there. But
our paths evidently haven't crossed. And really like to, you know, have some other people to dialogue with, get together, listen to these radio programs together, you know, do some
research
together.
You have a Facebook
together,
page?
Possibly.
You have Facebook?
I do. I rarely get on, but yes, I do.
What's your Facebook page?
It's, what is it?
I'll tell you what. So, Nefer, look up.
We still
look.
Online. Are we still online?
I don't know. D.A.
Yeah. Oh, no. We're not online. We've been offline.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
D.A.
Okay.
Senefer I is my name. Hey, D.A., I gotta try to reach you, man. What's your – you gave me your Facebook page.
Yeah, if you want, I'll definitely give you my number. You can give me a call anytime, man.
Yeah, give it to me.
856 701 3889, and my name is Aaron.
Tell me how I know that.
So, again, I think both of you, hopefully, Fleece, this will not be the last time you call. We actually have shows almost every day, usually at 8 or 9 o'clock every single day, so you're more than welcome to come. We have open discussions and conversations. We have our brother Senefer that comes on quite frequently. We have another brother named Matu. We have a lot of people. We have an apostle that comes on. We have preachers that come on. We have believers. We have non-believers. We have all types of people that actually come on. So this would be a perfect place for you to, you know, share your views and your insight and your ideas. Again, thank you guys so much. Senefer, man,
okay.
Love talking to you. You can get up with me anytime, man. It doesn't matter.
I'm getting ready to hit you in a minute.
All right, cool. Cool. Sounds
all right.
Good.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
My Facebook, I found it. I had to pull it up to give it to you.
Okay, what
is it? It's my